Well, let me give you guys out of Romans 12, 1 and 2. We ain't going to be long tonight because it's pretty rough out there. So in about 15 minutes, I just want to walk through. I want to give you guys six keys to surrender out of Romans 12. And so do we have maybe Romans 12, 1 and 2? I just want to show you six keys of surrender. Like, what are some keys? Because if I were to ask you guys, you may not always use that same word, but you use synonyms of surrender. Like, not my will. I don't want my will. I know what happens. And what you're saying there is, I don't want to be in control of my life. Like, I know what it means when I get in control of my life. And I don't think there's a person in here that thinks running their own life is the answer. And so we recognize that the problem was not with others. It was with us. And we did wrong because of the decisions we made. And so Romans 12, 1 and 2, this is what God says. He said, I beseech you, I'll read it and then I'm going to point six things out. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Actually, we have that up there. Steve, you want to read that since you're facing it?
Sure. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Good. Now, do you see how that ends? The perfect will of God. Does anybody want to do the end your life at the perfect will of God? I want to get to the end of my life and say I ended, and my life was in and is in the perfect will of God. So if we follow, I'm telling you, follow these six truths, you land at the perfect will of God. This is not a guess. This is not my opinion. This is not what I think. This is exactly what the one who created you and me, who knew us from all of eternity, says how you get in his perfect will. There's two types of wills that God has, his permissive will and his perfect will. Know this tonight, God never willed any of us to drug and drink in our life and to get caught up in craziness. He never wanted that. That's his permissive will. God would never say, I want you to hurt people and do wrong things and cause problems and sin. God never wants any of us to sin, but he will allow that. That's his permissive will. But when you do what's right, you get in his perfect will. So I know what his permissive will can land me in, and that can land God, because he gives us a free will. So we can do some pretty jacked up things. So let's look at what his how we landed his perfect will in six keys to surrender. The first is this in verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and this is the first key, that you present your bodies. You present your bodies. That statement is a technical phrase used among the Jews. They would take an animal sacrifice and bring it and present that animal sacrifice to the priest as an offering. So it's the idea of I am willingly bringing this animal to you. And he's not saying bring an animal, he's saying bringing yourself. So the first thing we see here is we have to present our life as available to God. We have to come before God and say, here am I. Here am I. I am willing. Anybody ever been pressured into a spiritual decision or something? Like, you need to do this, you need to do this. You'll walk away. You may pray a prayer. You may make a decision, but later on it makes no effect. You have to own your faith. You know, I have four kids. I want them to own their faith. I don't every day, did you read your Bible? Did you do this? You know, you better get in there right now. I never do that, ever. You know what they do every day? They get up, they read their Bibles, they want to do those things because they've owned it. They've chose to do that. And so we need to present our lives as available to God. So that's the first key. You have to come and say, God, I present my life to you. And all of us know the importance of prayer. If you don't spend time in prayer, what prayer is saying, God, here am I. The second key is this. Present all of your life to God. Look at that statement there in verse 1. He says, present your bodies a living what? That is a paradox, isn't it? How are you living and a sacrifice? You need to understand, because we're not Jews, but what they would do is they take an animal sacrifice, bring it up there. The guy would take a knife, the priest would take a knife, slit the throat, blood would go everywhere. I mean, this is gory, gory stuff. They would, and it all prefigured Jesus Christ, who would be the Lamb of God to take our sins away, because innocent life had to be taken to cover the sins of people. And so they, when they thought of sacrifice, they thought death. And so when he says living sacrifice, like, what is that talking about? And what he's saying is you need to, when you offered an animal, you weren't like, okay, just kill him like 50%. Like, I'll give you like 30% of the animal's life. And so what he's saying is you can't come and say, God, I'm going to make a bargain with you. I'll give you 47.5% today. We have to come before God and say, I am a living sacrifice. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 9:23? He said, if any man come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Then do what? Take up his cross how often?
Daily.
Take up his cross daily and follow me. So the prerequisites to following, getting in the perfect will, is a denial of self and a sacrifice of self. There's got to come a point in your life where you say, God, here am I. And then the second part of surrender is, here is all of me. Does that make sense? It's not just, here am I. Okay, God, all right, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible, or I'm going to pray. It's saying, God, here am I, and here's everything. Here's my thoughts, my desires. Here's what I look at when no one's watching. Here's what I say when no one's around. Here's what I think. Here's all the hidden things of my life. I give everything to you. Does that make sense? And the third thing, look what else he says. By the mercy of God, a living sacrifice. And the next statement is what? Holy, acceptable unto God. Now, the acceptable offering is a what kind of offering? Now, you have to understand, when they would bring animals, say you had 10, like, lambs. If you brought a lamb that was, like, all jacked up and had gangrene and the gout and brought that lamb up there, the priest would say, take it back. We're not going to offer that to God. That's not good enough. They would not offer it. They would send it back, and people might get offended. They didn't care. It made no difference. God said, do not bring. He said in his word, do not bring me a bad animal. He said, bring me your best. And people are like, well, that was the most costly lamb I got. And the point being that you offer God your best, because what you offer reflects not the giver, but the one you're giving it to, the receiver. And so you're saying, God, I want to give you my best because you are the best. And why should I give him the best? Because he gave me his best. He didn't give me a leftover lamb. He gave me his only son, right? So I need to offer God the best of my life. So when I come to God, I say, God, I don't want to offer you a sin-filled life. And you know, when we come as sinners to God, but we can't think that I can live in sinful lifestyle and still be in the will of God and be in his perfect will. I don't care how long your sobriety is. I don't care if you can be sober and miserable.
Oh, right?
You can be sober and miserable. So it's not, sobriety's not the goal. Christ-likeness is the goal. Like, the goal is not just to get off drinking and drugging. The goal is to become like Christ. And when you do that, it gets rid of those things. But it doesn't just do that. It makes you a good husband, a good father, a good wife, a good daughter. You become whole. Because I deal with a lot of people like that are not into drugs and alcohol, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in our church that don't drink and drug. And I'll tell you, some of them have miserable lives. You know why? Because they're not living holy lives. So what I'm trying to tell you is this brings you, and so the holy life, I need to be holy, and it says that is what's acceptable to God. So let me give you a fourth truth out of this, and this is wonderful that God says. So he says, I'm beseech you, brethren, and I just got to mention off of that word. This is so interesting. The word beseech is actually a word in the Greek that means I beg you. So the Apostle Paul is writing this letter, and he's literally like this. I am begging you guys. Like, I beg you right now. Like, that's, and to me, when I read that and studied that, it's the incredible thing is, here's God speaking through his servant Paul, begging us. So God's begging us through Paul to do this. I'm begging you, brethren. And then what's he base it on? By the mercies of God. And you know what the mercies of God is? The mercies of God is that we should die, and the judge said, live. So we're under the, he says, don't you know all that God's done for you? I'm begging you, seeing everything God's done, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Like, he's like this. I'm begging you, because of what God's done, go all in for God. Like, present everything as a living sacrifice. Be clean, acceptable unto God. And then look how he ends it. For it's your reasonable service. Here it is. Go all in, and that's reasonable. Like, be willing to die. Give up everything for him. That's reasonable, isn't it? And so that's how we need to see this, is we need to present our lives because it's reasonable. I like what you said earlier, Ronnie, that God owns me. Like it's reasonable for him to require me to live for him. Like God is not like asking us to do something that's unreasonable here. He's only asking us to go all in. Like that's not unreasonable. And the more I go all in, the better, honestly, everything gets. So, in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 tells us we're his temple. So just realize that God's not asking us to do something that's irrational, that's foolish. And you know, the big fear is this, and we've all been there. There's not a person in here that hasn't. The reason we didn't turn our lives over, and maybe tonight you're like, I haven't turned it over to him, is because we're afraid to turn our life over to somebody. Isn't it fear? Anybody been there before? It's like, I'm afraid. I know I should. We say this. I know I should, but I'm afraid. And it's kind of like, you know, Steve's a pilot. It's like me getting in an airplane. And I'm like, I'm going to fly this, Steve. And he's like, you don't know what you're doing. I'm like, I don't care. I like being behind the wheel. You know, not the wheel, but the stick. Yeah, stick, whatever they call those things. Now, he would probably get out of the plane because we would die. But if I was a smart person, I would say, Steve, you have the experience. You know how to fly this thing. I'm going to turn it over to you. And how much more? And that would be reasonable. It would be rational. So God made us. He puts us on the earth, knows everything. And we're like, I'm just afraid to let you fly the plane, God. You see how unrational that is? How foolish that is? And so in our life, we got to say, you know what? The fear is this. The fear is not surrendering to God. The fear is not surrendering. The fear is not going all in. Because if I don't go all in, I don't land at the perfect will of God. So let me give you two last things. We'll be done. Fifth, do not pattern your life after the world. Look what he says here in verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world. And it literally means this. Stop conforming yourself to the world. The world conform means to pattern or fashion your life after it. And so how can a person conform their life to this world? Is it easy to do? You got to stay out of his word. I had a guy Sunday in our class. What did he say, Steve? He said, he said, we have to live as rebels on this earth. I thought that was a good thought. That stuck with me, and I thought, you know, we had 18, 20 guys in a circle, and we was talking about how do you live for God, and he came out of a drug-crazy Yellow Springs hippie lifestyle, and he said, you know, I work around these guys that talk nasty, do nasty stuff, and you just got to live as a rebel. God's called us to live as a rebel in this world, and so we have to live against the system. So don't pattern your life after the world. And then number 6, and this is the last key, is in verse 2. And this is so, so true. He says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
By your mind. You ever seen that? The Transformers, who had Transformers when you were little, right? When cartoons were good, you know, watching those Transformers shows back in the day. But he's saying how you transform your mind, how you transform your life is by renewing your mind. That renewing is a construction word. And I was talking to Bud beforehand, and I did construction for about 6 years, and he does that. And I've done some renovations where you go in and tear out stuff. And before you ever go in and do a renovation, there's always a demolition process. There's always, I got to tear out everything. And that's sometimes the easy part, to tear it all out, but you got to get all of it out and start fresh and clean. Get everything squared up, get everything clean down to the base, and then let's put in the new stuff. And so what he's saying is here is to renew your mind, you have got to clean out the stuff. I've got to stop conforming myself. But you know where the problem is? People many times will stop there. Well, I don't do this anymore, and I don't do this anymore, and I don't do this. It's not about just not doing the wrong things. It's about doing the right things. So being a part of fellowships. I know a lot of you guys plugged into different meetings. Get around those things. Get around guys that can help you in your process of encouragement, focusing on God. You know, get around the right people, places, and things, right? You got to get in those streams that are going to push you in the right direction. Now, when I renew, what's the greatest tool of renewing my mind? It's the Word of God, right? When I fill my heart up with the Word of God, it will renew my mind. And so here's the conclusion. When you fully surrender to God, when you understand He is begging me to do this by all His mercies, I present my life, I'm willing, I'm saying, God, here am I. Here's all of me. This is reasonable. I'm not conforming to the world. I'm allowing your word to transform my mind. I will end at the perfect will of God. And here's, here, I like what you said earlier, Rachel, that if, and this is the way I've kind of tried to live my life, is if I want to be in God's perfect will, I got to get in His known will. So when I'm in God's known will, it will lead me into His perfect will. And if I'm where God wants me to be at today, you know where I'm going to start tomorrow? Where He wants me to be at. And so I just have to keep doing the things that I know are right today, tomorrow. And as I continue to live that way, man, fruitfulness, and what sometimes we don't understand, there's a lot of people watching us, aren't they? They're watching you. You're influencing more people than you realize. And so just continue to walk that process. And as we follow Him, He's going to fulfill His perfect will. And so if you can think of one thing tonight, just think about that word surrender. Go to bed tonight and say, God, have I truly surrendered to You? What area of my life have I not surrendered? And just as Robbie said, you got to do it every single day, don't you? You got to wake up every day and say, God, I turn it over to You. Turn it over to You. Or what can happen is you can go 8 months clean. You can go 29 years clean, as you were sharing earlier. You can go a long time clean. But if you get up and you say, you know what, I'm back in my will, tell you what, any of us, any one of us, including myself, can fall. And it can happen hard and fast, right? Let's close in a word of prayer. If you want.